Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel just read. You know, it's natural to think that those who strive for what they want achieve their goals. After all, that's what we experience in our lives. Initiative, determination, and dedication are all the qualities that you need to succeed in getting where you want to go in life. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, all that works in the world of man must be thrown out. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. We naturally love to build ladders to God. For example, the idea is popular that if you live an upright life, you never curse, cheat, steal, or laugh at an off-color joke, but instead always talk about God and give Him credit for every little ounce of your life, and show your dedication by volunteering everywhere and going on mission trips, then you will be closer to God. This is the ladder of moralism, which believes that God is with those who seem to be only the top caliber of believer. Sometimes we build a ladder to God with our emotions. We feel the Word of God sweeping over us, transforming us, kindling in our hearts, and we insist that everyone else needs to feel that same thing. So we pray, but we don't lift a finger until we feel God's answer in our heart. On this ladder, we insist that worship also must take us to a higher plane of existence, and out of this world lifting up. This is the ladder called mysticism, which believes that God is an experience to be had. Sometimes we build a ladder to God with our minds. It stands to reason that your level of knowing God is directly related to how much you read the Bible. If you meditate on God long enough, attend enough Bible studies, memorize enough passages of Scripture, then you too will know God better. This is the ladder of speculation, in which salvation comes by having a better understanding, a better knowledge about God than other people. And it makes God into a subject that needs to be analyzed. As natural achievers, we imagine that God is someone to be sought after, and that our faith is something that needs to be achieved. This shows up in the life of the congregation, too. It's believed that people who put the most into the congregation are those who get the most out. If you read your Bible every day, show up for every Bible study, participate in all the activities in the life of the congregation, then that somehow makes you a better Christian than those who just come to divine service. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. God hides himself from the wise and understanding, those who are proud of the initiative that they've taken to deepen their relationship with God, of all the work that they've done to make their faith what it is today. God cannot and will not be found by us. He will always reveal himself. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So what do the wise and understanding people find when they seek after God. They find exactly what they want to see. They find a God who is very pleased with them and very proud of all that they've done. It's a God created in their own image and rewards them for their hard work and their dedication. But this is no God at all. It is an idol. And those who persist in such a delusion, this is what they're going to hear from the true Lord on the last day. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." If we find any God besides the one who graciously makes himself known to sinners, we've really found no God at all. The Father reveals his Son to little children. And that word for little children in Greek is nepios. It's little children who can't even talk yet. Think about what that means. God makes himself known to those who can't even form a coherent sentence, let alone pray a lengthy, pious prayer or talk about all that God has done for them. He reveals himself to those who have absolutely no spiritual credentials. And God draws near to those who are entirely dependent. They need instruction. They need guidance and discipline, not those who can stand on their own and have all the answers already. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is his gracious invitation to the undeserving and the unqualified. "Come to me." His call goes out to all those who've been broken by the weight of meeting the hidden God, the one who makes strict demands and threatens hell for all who don't measure up and all who are disobedient. And yet no one could find a way to appease this God. No one could find a way to answer for God's righteous wrath. And no one could cleanse a guilty conscience. It's when our ladders come crashing down that we finally see that God cannot be sought by anything within us, whether it's a presumed moral superiority, shifting emotions, or a darkened mind. Come to Christ. The Father reveals him to you. He is the only holy one who is worthy before God. Only his moral perfection, his pure heart, and his pure mind, and his pure prayers count before God. He's the one who's worthy to ascend the hill of the Lord and to stand in his holy temple. Yet he gives all of that holiness to little children, to you and me, as a gift. And by his Holy Spirit, we do accept his invitation. And that's why the Church of God is made up of so many different people. People from so many different backgrounds, spiritual strengths, and weaknesses. The Son of God is the one constant among all of us. And the Father has called us by the gospel to be adopted as his children. We didn't have to go through some qualification process to believe in Jesus. He called us. He fitted us with the righteousness of Christ. And he gives us the same Holy Spirit. We are all adopted as God's children completely by His grace. And as beloved children, He has removed the labor and the heavy burden of our salvation. In its place, His Son, who did bear that burden and took it to Calvary, places His yoke upon us, a yoke of true service to God. In this family of God, there are no distinctions to be made. But just as we are baptized into the one Christ, we receive the same spirit of service. And that's where you see Christians who otherwise differ so vastly, whether by age or maturity or ability. They're all part of the same kingdom of heaven and all working in the same service to God. They do it from a free heart, from a clean heart that God has put there completely by His grace, which their Heavenly Father has bestowed on them and kindled in them, each according to the measure of Christ's gift that we've received. And it wasn't because of our decision to seek Him, our decision to be a stronger or better or more steadfast Christian. It all relies on His grace, on Him revealing His Son to us, and on us being the object of His love and the recipients of His Holy Spirit. What a wondrous grace that God has called us to in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.